Welcome to Bloom, the podcast where mums share their unfiltered experiences of pregnancy, birth, the fourth trimester, and beyond. We hope these stories help you to feel informed and empowered wherever you are on your own journey, because every mum is a blooming superhero. Welcome to Bloom. If you've ever wondered whether it's possible to have a truly joyful and positive pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, Lydia's story is for you. I lost track of the number of times we use the word joy in this conversation. We really hope you're going to love it. Lydia grew up in Bolton, studied in Birmingham, worked at an investment bank in London's Canary Wharf for many years before moving to Canada with her now husband, Simon. Whilst working as a product design consultant there, Lydia has spent 4.5 years skiing, campervanning, hiking, and generally living her best outdoor life in Vancouver. Let's dive in. We are particularly grateful to have Lydia on the podcast today because her beautiful boy Casper arrived into the world 4 weeks ago today. So, frankly, Lydia, I am blown away that you are sat in front of me and at all able to function. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm good. I'm honestly loving life with Casper. Tired, but I've been tired before in life and I'll be tired again. I'm trying to soak up all these newborn days because I honestly can't believe how fast it's already going and how much is changing.
Did you get any sleep last night? What was the night like?
Not loads. He was being a bit weird and kind of feeding for 4 minutes and then going back to sleep for half an hour. So that was fun. But I managed to get a nice like few hours this morning, like a couple of hours of extra lying with him. So that was good. Makes up for it. We also have Casper with me if you hear the little cooing sounds.
It's the best noise in the world. And he's so happy. He's absolutely gorgeous. Looking up at you, happy as anything. Let's begin at the beginning. Did you always know you wanted to be a mum?
Always. Literally always. I've always been so broody, maternal, always been so excited to have children. We had... I have quite a few cousins and every year at Christmas, I swear there was another baby announcement and another new baby. And every year there would be just more cousins. So I was always surrounded by kids and babies. And maybe that also helped with making me feel more broody. But it's something that I've always wanted. And it was just a matter of like when, not if for me.
And when did you and Simon meet your now husband?
We met 9 years ago with you on our ski trip. We kind of instantly hit it off and things moved pretty quickly. We moved in together after like less than a year and then we bought a house after like a year and a half. So we did hit it off pretty quick.
So you met Simon. When did you decide that you wanted to start thinking about kids? When did you start thinking about kids? Was that a conversation that happened quickly?
Interestingly enough, it happened extremely quickly because we actually had an accidental unplanned pregnancy like 2 weeks after we met. So it was quite pivotal in our relationship. It kind of forced us to have the children conversation almost immediately. And it also brought us really close together because we were able to see kind of that just another side to each other that we might not have had before. So we didn't decide to go ahead with the pregnancy at the time because we had some serious discussions about what we wanted to get out of life. We wanted to just have some more life experiences and time with just two of us. So we kind of agreed that we both wanted to have children, but not at that time. But it was a kind of a special moment, and weird now we've kind of gone full circle and it almost now we've got Casper and decided to have a family at this time has added more meaning to that experience because it's kind of given us these extra years that we've had with just the two of us and it's given us this perfect timing with Casper.
Gosh, that sounds so healthy that at 2 weeks in, you were able to navigate that together. I mean, testament to your relationship, because that is not easy. And I mean, I'm sure it wasn't easy to come to that decision, but so healthy that you got there and have this perspective on it. I mean, especially with the what you've just said, that you've always wanted to be a mother. What was it like to actually make that decision? Was it difficult?
It was. It really was. And we spent, and I particularly spent a lot of time just toing and froing on, like, the benefits of going ahead with it at the time and not. So it was not an easy choice at all, you know, to not go ahead with the pregnancy after, you know, I knew how much I wanted to have children. And but it after spending enough time talking through it together, it really did feel like we made the right choice at the time. So that helped with it. And it also solidified that I wanted to be with Simon, because he could have just gone running, but he was amazing and so supportive.
That was 9 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've had all these experiences together. You've moved countries. You've done all sorts of adventuring. And when did you decide, okay, now we're ready. Now's the time. Now's the right time.
Well, we got married last summer. And I mean, even the last couple of years, I was thinking, I'm so ready now. Like, I really am ready anytime. So I think Simon wanted to get married first, which made sense. And we probably didn't want to have a baby at a wedding. So we got married, and then quite soon after the wedding, we decided to start trying. And luckily for us, we kind of knew that we were able to have kids because of what had happened. So that was a little bit of a comfort. So yeah, luckily it happened quite quickly.
And do you remember when you found out that you were pregnant with Casper? What happened that day?
I was just so anxious and excited. So I was taking tests very early. You know, that you have the 2 week wait period. Well, after like a week, I was already trying to take those early detection tests. It didn't happen the first month, but it happened the second month. So yeah, I was taking like super early tests. Simon actually was away with work. So when he got back that night, and I asked him to close his eyes, and I like handed him the test, and it was so faint that he actually, like, he thought I was pulling some weird prank. He was like, "What? I can't see anything." Because it was actually really early. And he was like, "Well, I don't feel like I can celebrate, because are we sure? Like, it's barely a line." But then as it kind of gave him a bit of time to accept it, and then like a few days later it was like clearly a line. So yeah, we were both just like, you know, ecstatic really that it happened, and we could start getting excited for it, a baby to actually be coming.
What were the next 9 months like? I know it's hard to sort of tackle that bigger question in one go, but generally, how was pregnancy for you?
It's funny, I was so prepared for pregnancy to be a lot harder than I found it. I think, you know, there's a lot of advice and just a lot of attitudes that you'll need kind of looking after while you're pregnant, and there's loads of things that you wouldn't be able to do. And in the first trimester, I definitely had to scale back. I was pretty nauseous every day. I was a bit sick, not loads. I was exhausted beyond anything I've ever had, than just passing out on the couch multiple times a day. But I still felt like good in a way. Like I don't know, it wasn't getting to me, because I knew to expect that. And then by the second trimester, I was just feeling on top of the world. I was feeling so energized, so good. I was back at the gym. You know, finding that great. I actually joined CrossFit when I was 16 weeks pregnant, because I kind of saw this period as a bit of a training period for labor, and I wanted to get fit, especially because I knew that after the baby arrived, it would become harder. So I really was like, okay, this is my time to try and get as fit as possible. We were saying yes to everything, because we knew that after the baby came, it would be harder. So we were going to festivals, we were going on like big group trips. We were just so busy all through summer, and I was kind of waiting for the pregnancy to start getting in the way, and it just didn't. Even come third trimester, you know, I was like, I'm going to have to slow down. I'm going to become tired. I'm going to become achy. And I didn't really. you know, even till the week before, well, even after the due date, I was still going to the gym. I was planning a snowshoe the day that he arrived.
No.
Yeah, the day he arrived, we'd planned to go up the mountain and go snowshoeing because I was like, this baby is just not going to come. I'm not going to wait around. Let's just have a nice day. It's crazy. I just enjoyed it so much.
That sounds so brilliant and so healthy. And I mean, it sounds like you were very active prior to getting pregnant. But then clearly you've stepped it up in preparation. Do you think that doing the exercise had that positive effect on your pregnancy as well, and how you felt and feeling strong? You know, was there a bit of a feedback loop there, do you think?
I actually do. I think that's a really good point. It's like, I don't know if it was cause or effect, but going to the gym helped me feel strong, helped me to prove that I could still do things with my body, and helped me just remain mobile. And then mentally as well, I'm sure it helped. Because if you look at it the other way, and if you're inactive and you don't do something or don't do anything, then it can't be good for your mental health. So I think getting out, you know, releasing those endorphins, being active must have helped me mentally as well.
Were there any moments where you did kind of go, oh, whoa, I need to stop at this point?
I was always aware. So I wasn't completely in denial that I was pregnant. And when I was at the gym, you know, there were things that I had to do to adapt. But I wouldn't say that I was ever like, whoa, I can't do this. It was always just, let's figure out how to do it and adapt for my body. And even the social situations, I actually was enjoying them. There were some nights, you know, I would go home a bit early. You know, everybody else would be really, really drunk. And I would get to 2 a.m. and I'd be like, I don't want to hang out with loads of drunk people now. The conversations are repetitive when you're the only sober one. But other than that, I wouldn't say really I was, you know, I felt like unable to do things, or I was like, I can't do this.
With going out, I actually vividly remember when I wasn't drinking because of being pregnant, I had such a better staying power on the nights out than I ever did when I was drinking, because I guess I would drink and then get sleepy quickly or crash down. But I remember thinking, God, I can just keep going and going and going. I'm great. I'm on my lime and sodas.
100%. We actually did a trip to Nashville with a load of friends, and I was about 24 weeks pregnant. And Nashville, I don't know if it's as common to know this in the UK, but it's kind of the hen and stag do destination. And it's like kind of like a Vegas. And so everybody was going on these big nights out, and we'd get to 2 or 3 a.m. and the boys would be kind of so drunk that they would need taking home, and I'd be the one taking them home. And I was like, guys, I want to stay out. I was like, come on. So that was quite funny. I definitely have more staying power.
This is so lovely to hear. Obviously wonderful that you were so healthy in your body and the pregnancy was so healthy and you could just have this wonderful experience. Did you get anyone trying to stifle that?
A little bit with my close friends. No, they were like really, really supportive, and I became that the raw dogging person for the summer, like attending everything raw dogging. They were all like, this is amazing.
Wait, sorry, what does that mean?
Raw dogging, I only learned the phrase this year, but it's like doing, well, in our context it was doing everything sober, but I've heard it also used for like people who are like sit on a plane and not read a book and not go on their phone and like just kind of do everything like raw.
Oh my God, I've never heard that. I'm feeling age here.
I know, right? It's great. So they were super supportive. The gym stuff, I actually moved gyms to this CrossFit gym, and partly because you got a lot more like coaching, and it turns out one of the coaches was pregnant one day apart from me. So that was awesome, because they were all quite aware, and a lot of the people had already gone through pregnancy and stuck with that gym, or their wives had similar experiences. So people were very supportive at the gym. I'd say people outside the gym, I had the occasional comment like, make sure you're staying safe, or are you sure you can do this? You know, especially people at work, I had a couple of comments that I just didn't appreciate, like, you know, especially then, make sure you're saying safe one. Because I was like, obviously, I'm staying safe for my child. Like, I wouldn't do anything that was unsafe. And I actually started feeling a bit self-conscious at first. But it's interesting. I kind of figured early that you're going to get judged all the way through pregnancy. And you're probably going to get judged even more when you become a mother about your parenting styles. So I was kind of the opinion, I better get used to being judged pretty early and stop caring about it. Because when the child arrives and people start judging for that, I can't let it get to my head. I'm just going to have to do what I believe is right. So it was quite a good exercise for me.
That sounds really wise, quite frankly. Can we talk birth? What happened? How did labour start? When did labour start? When did it all kick off?
So birth, I spent a lot of time thinking about birth and what kind of birth I wanted, watching like loads of positive birth videos on YouTube. I mean, I don't know that many people who've spent that much time like literally watching birth videos on YouTube, but that's what I was doing. Reading hypnobirthing books and positive birth books and being aware that, you know, birth doesn't always go to plan, but I also felt like there was nothing wrong with having a plan in place of what I wanted and trying to do my best to prepare for that. So I wanted to have a unmedicated vaginal birth. That was my ideal. And I wanted to spend as much time at home. I ideally wanted to spend as much time in the bath as possible. And that was kind of it. That was my birth plan. Just a relaxing, unmedicated birth, just to fully kind of experience what birth felt like. So we kind of prepped lots of kind of pain management tools, like obviously the bath would have been one of them. I had a TENS machine. I had a birth comb where you squeeze the comb to supposedly help.
Oh, I've never heard of that. What is that like? Like a hair comb?
Literally a hair comb, like a wooden hair comb that you hold in your hand and squeeze into your palm. And supposedly when you get a contraction, it helps take, like it helps distract. So that was kind of one of the tools that I had. And then also lots of labour positions. And we'd been to a pelvic floor physio, which had helped us. She actually walked through me and Simon both together lots of labour positions that would help kind of get through early labour and pass the pain. And Simon was kind of holding me up. So that was the plan. So I went into labour a week after the due date at 3 a.m. and got woke up with a contraction, like a pretty painful contraction, I would say. And I hadn't had any signs before that I was going to go into labour.
Hence the snowshoeing.
Hence the planning the snowshoeing, yeah. But like my waters hadn't broken. I'd lost a bit of my mucus plug, but not loads. I was 4 centimetres dilated, but the midwife said that doesn't necessarily mean much, you could still be another week. And I didn't feel that massive urge to like clean the house, or I wasn't feeling like massively emotional. I just felt the same.
Did you try anything to try and bring it on at all, or did you just kind of sit back and go, oh, what will be kind of thing?
I tried everything because our due date was the 20th. It was the 20th of December, and I was just desperate to have a pre-Christmas baby. I didn't want to go into labor on Christmas or after Christmas. I was like, please, please let me have a newborn baby on Christmas Day, be at home with this baby. So I tried the raspberry leaf tea for weeks, the dates. I tried putting evening primrose oil capsules up my vagina. I was doing Clary Sage essential oils. I bought an essential oil burner. I was forcing Simon to have sex with me. I was doing the miles circuit. I was still going to the gym. They were like, when's the due date? And I was like, oh, 4 days ago.
I love that.
And then, and like, I think, and I was going to acupuncture every day as well. I was really trying everything. And then Christmas arrived and that all stopped and we enjoyed Christmas. And after that, I thought, you know what? Christmas has passed now. Let's just let this baby come when it comes. And I actually know that all those things I was doing are more to support labour and help with cervical dilation and not really to induce you. So I was hoping that they weren't a waste of time. They were still hopefully help, you know, they were still going to be beneficial to my labour. And I actually think they were. But yeah, the night, kind of the evening of Boxing Day, I went into labour. Funnily enough, we'd planned to go snowshoeing. So at 9 p.m. the night before, we needed an extra pair of snowshoes. So I forced Simon to get in the car with me and drive like a 4-minute drive to buy some snowshoes from Facebook Marketplace. And on that drive, we hit a pothole and we blew our tire.
Oh my gosh.
So then we had to wait 2 hours for the AA to come. And we had to do a big long walk back home to get back. And so we only ended up going to bed at like 11 p.m. after all this saga with the car. and I think that walk back home down this big hill actually was what sent me into labour. Maybe.
And maybe that pothole, surely, if you had a big bump.
And the pothole, honestly. Yeah.
You go to bed and then a few hours later you had your first contraction.
Yeah, I was fuming. I'd only had like three or four hours sleep and then I went into labour.
Oh my gosh. And the snowshoeing went out the window.
The snowshoeing went out the window. We had the snowshoes sat in the car, but then we didn't have a car to get to the hospital.
You've planned to go snowshoeing. Those plans have gone sadly out the window. Contractions at 3 a.m. What happened from there?
So I was told to ignore early labour because, you know, you want to make it not feel like it's that long. So try to ignore as long as possible. But it was really hard to ignore it because they were really quite intense and I couldn't really get through them without really focusing on those breathing techniques that I learned from the hypnobirthing books. I didn't wake Simon up because I thought if we're in for a long day here, let him get some sleep. I started timing them and they were like every sort of 4 or 5 minutes. Eventually, Simon woke up with the sound of my breathing techniques because I was trying so hard to do this like deep breathing that it literally woke him up. And I was like, it's time. So he was like, okay, what do you want me to do? He was like, oh my God, okay, like, how are you doing? What do you want me to do? And I was like, let's just try and stay in bed for as long as possible and we'll just try and kind of ignore it. I was like, if you can get some sleep, that's great. But he really couldn't because it was just too distracting. I was really in a lot of pain. I was kind of tossing and turning, trying to get into a comfy position and I couldn't. So after a bit of time, he went to run a bath and I got in the bath at maybe 5 a.m., 6 a.m., like a couple of hours later. Again, just keep timing the contractions. My mum was there as well. She was staying for Christmas and for the birth. So we didn't wake her up because we thought, let her get some sleep. But we spoke to the midwife on the phone and she said, it sounds like you're in early labour because they're still, you know, they're only 4 or 5 minutes apart, but keep in touch. Call, you know, you can only really come into hospital when they're 3 minutes apart. And she said they just sounded like early labour contractions. And I was thinking in my head, how on earth can you say that? Because I'm in so much pain already. Mm. Why are you telling me it's early? You know, I was thinking, how am I going to get through hours and hours of this? Because it just felt much more intense at that beginning than I expected. I was told that early labour, you'd be able to kind of talk through your contractions and have like big gaps in between. And it just was not the case. But you know, nevertheless, we're like, let's just settle in.
And what did that look like? What did that mean? So are you in an apartment with Simon and your mum? Who's doing what? Where are you? What are they up to? What was helpful?
Yeah, so I was in the bath at that point and Simon got my battery candles that I'd like ordered. So he was like setting those up and he got some music playing and he got my timer like next to the bath, and he was checking, like scurrying around putting the snow and the skis away because he was gonna go skiing sadly, and kind of checking the hospital bag. I could see it out the corner of my eye, him like putting the ski boots back in the cupboard. And then my mum kind of woke up with the hustle and bustle about seven. And but then, it, you know what? And someone kind of warned us of this. Like, a lot of labour is kind of boring in a way. Like, there's not much for people to do other than just wait and pass the time. And Simon had also done a lot of research with me. He knew that if I wanted to get through this unmedicated birth, that we'd have to keep changing position, but like spreading them out at a good intervals. And our pelvic floor physio said, try to change positions every kind of half an hour. So he was taking the lead on monitoring that. Because once I got in a position, I did not want to move ever. But yeah. So he was like encouraging me to do that, and sometimes even bribing me. Like, I'd ask for some orange juice and he'd be like, right, you can have the orange juice once you change position. Which was actually like quite good, and I sort of needed someone to just kind of take the lead like that.
Yeah, so that you don't have to think about that bigger picture, because you've got enough to think and feel.
Honestly, that's it. And you're so in the moment. You're not thinking about the fact that you've got a whole day of this. So after a couple of hours in the bath, he was like, I think you should get out of the bath and, you know, try to go in the lounge. Maybe you can try and lie down, just try something new. And he practically had to drag me out, but it was the right thing to do. And then we just kind of spent the day in the lounge, just honestly, me, I was kind of going in and out of consciousness, it almost felt like, because I would snatch those like 3-4 minutes, 4-5 minutes, whatever it was in between. Sometimes I would even fall asleep in between a contraction, and other times I'd be a bit more aware, but then during the contraction I was just completely unaware. Like, I was just in the zone, trying to breathe, often dragging Simon over to like do a hip squeeze, or I would like lean on him, or he would hold my head up, just whatever the position was that we were in at the time, he was often like supporting me in that. So I would be like, come back, okay, mum, start the timer.
Can you describe what a contraction feels like? I know that's not an easy thing possibly, but given that it was a few weeks ago only, can you try and describe what it felt like?
It was kind of a wave for me that would start in my, like, actually like my sacrum, like my bum, basically, and move around and forward to the front of my belly. It's not dissimilar in a way to period, like bad period cramps, but it's completely on a different scale. And it almost feels like a clamp for me. It was kind of like my uterus was clamping down, and the pain would kind of radiate from my belly down even my, like, my thighs. That's kind of how it felt for me. And it's interesting because with all the books that I'd read, a lot of them kind of say that to not use the word pain, or that even pain, labour can be pain-free. Which for some people might really help, but it did feel painful for me, and there's no other way of saying it. For in my experience, it was painful, and I would see the breathing and the other things as pain management.
Were you watching things? Were you listening to things? So you're doing positions and stuff. Sounds like Simon was amazing. Were you also trying to distract at all, or were you just in your own little bubble?
Yeah, we actually had, funnily enough, Gavin and Stacey playing on the TV all, like, for hours. Because
great choice.
Yeah, I'd never watched it before, so we were trying to watch it so that I could watch the Christmas special.
Which was so good.
The most mad thing happened because the episode came on where Nessa is in labour and having a baby. And it was so surreal because I was like leaning over this armchair going like, ooh. And then on the TV, Nessa is there like in labour and giving birth. And it was just absolutely crazy.
I love that. We're in this together.
I know. It was so mad. I was like, this is so surreal. But we watched, apparently got through like seasons of it, but I don't really remember much. Like, it was just, I can remember glimpses of it. We went back and watched it, and I was like, I don't remember any of this. And then after a few hours of that, they were like, why don't we switch up the Gavin and Stacey? We put the Harry Potter audiobook on, and we just listened to that for hours.
Another great choice.
Yeah.
So at what point did you know, or did you think, okay, now's the time to leave home, now's the moment?
Yeah, so I moved to a standing position. So I was like, at one point, just leaning on Simon and leaning on the table. And that actually sped up the contractions to get us to that 3 minute interval that the midwife had been asking for. Simon called the midwife and said, you know, she's at 3 minutes now. Should we come in? And I think the midwife could kind of hear me in the background. She was like, yeah, she's definitely ready. Come in whenever feels right for you guys. Funnily enough, we then had to get a rental car because we had no car because of the flat tyre. So a bit like you have in London and Paris with those bike, they actually have a car version here where you can kind of book a car on your app and find a car nearby. Simon found a car that way and he brought it round to the back. And my waters hadn't actually broken at that point. So they were a bit nervous that the waters might break in the car. So they lined the car with towels just in case. And I was really dreading that car journey.
I bet. How long was the journey?
So it was actually only a 12-minute drive. But I was so in the zone. And again, I'd read a lot of things about how changing your environment can sometimes slow labor down. So I was just nervous that we progressed to a certain point and then it was going to change things up and it was going to make it worse. So I was quite nervous, but we got in the car and so we had 12 minutes, which meant I had about 3 or 4 contractions in the car, and Simon drove so gently that it genuinely wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was fine. And we got to the main entrance and we had to register. And I was like, are you kidding me? I've got to like walk to a desk and register. And she was asking me all these questions. And I was thinking, what on earth is going on? In hindsight, maybe they do that to sort of distract you. And they also just don't know really how far along you are. So some people could be really early. But we had to do that. And then we quite quickly saw our midwife and she came down. She'd been on the phone to us the whole time. And she came to do the assessment. Actually, maybe now's a good point to just mention how the prenatal care works in Canada. So I actually had a team of 5 midwives, which I'd started seeing from day one. And all of my appointments had been with one of those team of 5. And I knew that all of my appointments from there on in would be with one of those, and the delivery would be with those, and the postnatal care would be with those. So I actually knew the midwife quite well, which was lovely.
That must be so nice.
Yeah, it was great. So I'd actually seen her the day before. So that was something really great about the system, is that we knew the midwife that was going to come and meet us. And she met us in one of the entry rooms. And I was 7 centimetres.
Amazing.
Yeah, I was super happy. We needed to go upstairs and I was determined to walk because I knew, you know, I knew that being upright would help. But honestly, I was walking so slow. They were like, can you just get in the wheelchair? And I was like, yeah, okay. It'll take me hours. So they wheeled me up and we got into our room. And again, another thing kind of about the Canadian system is that, especially about this hospital, but you get your own room from the time that you enter all the way through to the time you get discharged. So that was lovely. And it had a big bathroom with a big bath in it. So when I got up there, they ran the bath for me. Simon set up all my battery candles that had been brought from home, and he set up this spa music. And immediately I was like, okay, we're getting back in the zone here. We can relax, get in the bath again, which I hadn't had most of the day. I was really excited to kind of get back in it and just carry on doing what we'd been doing. So I spent a couple of hours in the bath. So what were we on? We were probably on like hour 10 or 11 of labour by that point. The nurse came in every 15 minutes to check the heart rate. And after a bit of time, she noticed that the baby's heart rate was getting quite low. Low enough to the point where she wanted me to have the active monitoring band on. But luckily enough, it was like waterproof. So I could stay in the bath with this around my belly and they could just keep an eye on his heart rate. And I wasn't paying too much attention. I wasn't that worried at that point. I was just like carrying on with the contractions because you can't really focus on much else, to be honest. But after a bit of time, they kind of said, you know what, this, you need to change. They were asking me to keep changing position to get the baby's heart rate up during the contractions. And then it got to a point where I wasn't really able to get into the right positions enough while I was in the bath. So they asked me to get out of the bath so that I could try different positions to try to get his heart rate up. Honestly, I was not happy to get out of the bath at all. I'd been finding it a bit harder at that point to get through them. I was getting a bit tearful. I was definitely getting a bit more like moany. I don't know if they were ramping up or if it was just taking its toll the time, but I was finding it a bit harder. And then by the time I got on the bed, I don't know, something kind of flicked in me and I was like, oh my God, this is so hard. It just felt really, really painful. And by that point, doctors were coming in and they were telling me quite assertively, you need to roll over to your left. Okay, you need to roll over to your right. Okay, now you need to wiggle your hips. And it was really hard because I was just in pain and I was finding it difficult to do what they said.
What was the thought process there? What did those positions have to do with baby?
I don't know. They were saying that it would help the heart rate go up. Like maybe just kind of, maybe the wiggling the hips was making the baby respond to something, to some movement, to get his heart rate to go up or just to ignite something. I'm not really sure. I was just kind of following the instructions. Maybe it was to speed things up, but I didn't get the impression it was to speed up labor. I got the impression it was helping the baby. And actually, I think I vaguely remember certain things what I was doing and they were like, oh, it's great, it's coming up now. So I think just general movement was making the baby respond and have the higher heart rate. But I was so focused on me, to be honest. And then I started to get a little bit panicked because, again, it was ramping up and they were telling me again and again to move. I was getting a bit panicked that I wasn't able to do what they were asking me. So it got to a point where they'd say, right, roll onto your right. And I was like almost paralyzed with the pain that I just felt like I couldn't. And that was the point where I thought, have I made a mistake here? Should I have had an epidural or more pain management? Because then I'd be in a better position to help the baby. So then I was getting a bit emotional. I started asking for the epidural. I was like, I can't help the baby. I can't do it, blah, 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 which I think was the transition period because everything moved really quickly after that. So they were checking because my water hadn't broken. And then really soon after they checked that the water broke, they checked again and I was 10 centimeters. And they were like, you can start pushing now. And I'd had some urges to start pushing even from when we were in the bath, but I wasn't dilated enough. And they were like, you know, it's okay that you're feeling some urges, but like, don't go too strong on the pushing at this point. But then after that, they were like, you can start pushing. And I was thinking, okay, thank God, this is like my moment to get this over with. To get the baby out, to get the heart rate up, to get the pain to stop. I was like, this is like, come on, Lydia. Like,
go mode.
Yeah. I was on my back at that point and I knew I'd been told enough times that that was not a good pushing position. So even though I couldn't move earlier, I was suddenly like, you need to move. So I was like, I need to get over. And they sort of helped me and they flipped me and I got on all fours and I had the bed tilted up and I was leaning against the back of the bed. And I was pushing like my life depended on it. I was pushing so, so, so hard. I was like, get this baby out. And suddenly I felt the pressure of the baby. It felt like, honestly, like constipation, but on a times 100,000. But it didn't feel like the baby was actually moving anywhere. So I was like pushing and pushing and pushing. I was like, it's not working. And people were like, it is working. We can see that it's working. Keep going. But it was funny how the fact that it didn't feel like it was working for me was making me push harder and harder and harder. Then actually the doctor came up to my head and she said, it is working, but the baby really needs to get out, like, now. They'd actually just fitted an IV to potentially do a C-section just in case because of this heart rate situation. So she actually said, you're doing really well, but we may just need to get some forceps or the vacuum just to speed things up more, just to get this baby out really quickly. And I was like, hell no, I've gone this far without any interventions. And suddenly found more strength within me. And I was at one point like moaning out, and they were like, if you can kind of stop crying out, hold your breath, like kind of like bear down and push, that might be more effective. So that's what I did. Suddenly I was like silent, pushing. And he actually came out. I was pushing only for 20 minutes and he came out pretty quick. I was so happy. I was so proud.
You did it.
Funnily enough, it didn't feel quick for me. It felt like I couldn't possibly have gone on any longer.
But you did it. You did it entirely yourself.
It was wild.
Did you feel the immensity of it afterwards? Like, what was the immediate aftermath?
It was crazy. So I felt him coming out, and I can't say that I felt more pain for him actually coming out than the rest. I just knew that I was kind of at the finishing line. I was about to meet him, and then it was all of a sudden he came out, everyone cheered, they passed him through under my legs. I could see that it was a boy, which I didn't know, which was amazing. Honestly, I think I was in shock. I would actually say, yeah, that was the primary emotion, was just shock. I like couldn't process what had just happened. There was this baby like lying on the bed in front of me, and I was just, I have really few words. Then I sort of knelt backwards and they passed him up and I was holding on to him, and I was just so in shock. I just didn't really know what to do. I was just kept staring at him, and I couldn't believe that this baby had been the one that we'd been waiting to meet for all of that time.
I mean, talk about overwhelming, physically overwhelming, emotionally overwhelming, psychologically overwhelming. No wonder you were in shock and you've had no pain relief. At what point did you feel like you could really wrap your head around what happened?
It took a bit of time because there was a bit of the kind of the aftermath of the birth. So he was still attached and it was actually pulling quite hard on my vagina and it was actually quite sore. So I was sort of very aware of that. And then I had to flip over and I'd lost a bit of blood and I'd also had a second degree tear. So they were also spending some time doing the stitching me up, and it actually was taking quite a bit of time. And they also were, there was a lot of focus on getting the placenta out, and they were doing a lot of pushing on my belly. So I had this baby in my arms, but I was also so focused on everything that was going on the other end where they were discussing the
There's
tear.
There's still a lot happening.
Yeah. It's funny because I'd always just imagined in my head that you pick your baby up and you get it on your belly and all the pain goes away and you're in this euphoric state and nothing else is happening. And actually that wasn't really the case for me. I was almost forgetting that I had this baby, and I'd look down and I'd be like, oh my God, there's a baby. But then I was also quite focused on this, and it was actually painful. Sounds awful, but at one point I looked down and I'd been squeezing on his arm because of the pain of whatever was happening. And I was like, oh my God, my poor baby. Like, so it was very, my attention was very divided between like, oh my God, here's a baby. Oh my God, what's happening at the other end? Like, it was just a bit crazy. And Simon was just next to me crying, like, you did it. I was like,
oh,
yeah.
Bless him.
And my mum was also there.
Oh, so they were both in the room. Were they there the whole time? Did they dip in and out? What were they up? What were they up to?
They were both there the whole time. when I was in the bath, they were kind of taking turns pouring the water over me. And then when I was on the bed, they were just like at my end, sort of help, like holding my hand. And I think my poor mum, she actually used the word harrowing after, because I think she found it really difficult seeing me in, you know, seeing me go through that. Simon also was finding it a bit difficult seeing me go through it, but he was also very in awe and very proud. And I'm really glad that they were both there. But at the time, I couldn't have been aware really of who was there. There was quite a few people in the room and I just didn't care who was there at all. I was so in my own zone.
Practically, did you get any like anaesthetic for like the stitching and things?
Yeah, I actually, as soon as the birth happened, I was like on the gas and air.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is great. And they gave me a bit of like a freeze thing for the stitching me up. It didn't really feel like the pain went, but it did help to calm me down a bit. You know, the gas and air, I felt like it was just more of a calming thing and a distraction. Until that was done. And I think it took nearly 2 hours in total. I don't really know what was happening in hindsight, but it kind of took 2 hours for like everyone to sort of leave the room and for us to just have that time. When they left, we were just in the room with the three of us, lights dimmed, baby on chest, doing skin to skin. He also latched quite early during that time as well, which was really special. And we could just kind of look at each other and look at him and just thought, oh my God, like we did it. It's just incredible. It's just incredible to look at this little baby and think this is your entry into the world, and this is like we're your parents. And I don't know, it's very hard to explain. But it was very special to just finally get that moment where we could just start to process everything that had happened and really start to give him attention. And
speaking a little bit about the fact that you're in Canada, what is the system there in terms of how long do they keep you? Do they throw you out the hospital? Do they keep you a while?
Yeah, it was great. We obviously stayed that night because I gave birth at about 5 p.m. So we were able to stay that night, and then we also could have very easily stayed the day after, like the night after. We actually chose to leave the day, like the evening after. So we were there for definitely more than 24 hours. We were kind of there the whole day after. By about 8 o'clock, we were unsure whether we wanted to stay another night or go home. And we decided to go home because we thought we didn't really get a good night's sleep the night before. Although the rooms were very, very well equipped. Simon actually had a bed in the room as well, so he was able to sleep next to me. And we'd had visitors all day, and that was lovely. You don't have any kind of restrictions on visitors. So we had, you know, my sister pop in and my mom, and then a friend came the day after. But we just kind of thought, we're kind of doing okay. We're not going to do any better by staying here another night. And we kind of just wanted the home comforts. So we went home, and mum and my sister and had all prepped some dinner for us and cleaned the house. And it was lovely to do that. But we didn't at all feel pushed out. It was very much just leave when you want to leave.
4 weeks with Casper. He's absolutely gorgeous. And you've been feeding him as we've been speaking. I mean, talk about Superwoman. How have these 4 weeks been? How has your recovery been?
The main thing is it's been so joyful. Like being home with him, you just spend your day staring at his little face and all the little facial expressions that he does, and snuggling or and obviously feeding him. And it turns out that babies are a lot simpler than we expected. Like we thought it was going to be hard to know how to look after a baby, but we figured that, I don't know, they're actually a lot simpler than we thought. They just need love and cuddles and changing and feeding. And if you just do that, then it's been wonderful. It's been so lovely. Like maybe it's nice that it's been kind of the post-Christmas period as well, but we've just been kind of cozying up at home together. We had parents visiting, so obviously my mum was here and Simon's parents also flew out. He had a nice 3 weeks off work, and that's all we've done, I don't even know how we spend the days. They just go, they just disappear. And all we've done is sat on the couch and kind of stared at him. And it's just lovely. Like, it's amazing how much joy they give you just from doing absolutely nothing. They just lie there and do a little weird, or do a yawn, and you're just amazed. It's been lovely. And it's been great to see Simon as well, like bonding with him, because I think it's harder for the guy to know, I don't know, to bond with the baby when you're pregnant. And to even feel like he's not really been that bothered about other people's babies, you know, a bit. But suddenly when it's his own with him, it's just incredible how he's just a new person, and he's obsessed with him, and he just wants to hold him all the time and stare at him. And it's amazing to see that side of Simon as well.
It all just sounds so full of joy, and you just seem so well. And he's clearly such a happy, content little baby. And you seem so full of joy yourself. You must also still be recovering from birth. Like, how has recovery been physically for you?
Yeah. So it's interesting. We said the baby has been a lot easier than we thought, but the recovery has been much harder than we anticipated. And for me, especially having been so active all the way through past the due date, I then wasn't able to basically walk. I did a bit of a walk around the hospital, and then Simon had to literally wheel me back because I couldn't go any further. And I was struggling to sit because I was in a lot of pain down below. Haven't been able to walk basically for like 2 weeks. The last week I've been kind of walking a bit further, and this week I'm just trying to rest, but I'm still in a bit of pain. And for both of us, that was a thing that we just did not anticipate. I don't know if it's a combination of, obviously I had some tearing, so that's got stitches that need to heal. I also have had a really sore tailbone, which it was weird. And the midwife actually said that it's quite common to get some internal bruising from kind of the way that the baby comes out. Like, it was kind of bashing along on my tailbone. Ow. So that's been very bruised. And then obviously you have that weakened pelvic floor, which is sort of pulling on the tailbone, and everything just felt quite uncomfortable and sore. And that was quite difficult for me, because I was like, I did all this preparation. I don't understand why I have had a really slow recovery. And I think in comparison to some other friends, it has seemed a bit slower, which I'm trying not to be annoyed about, because it is what it is. And I'm trying to just give myself a bit of grace. But it's been difficult to accept. And I'm so itching to get out there and start doing things with him. But I don't want to do more damage. So I'm trying to just take everything very slowly. And in a way, it's been nice to have people really show how much they can help. And they've been bringing food and taking care of me and allowing me to just lie on the couch. I haven't had to do that much. But it's been a very humbling, I would say, experience, just that postpartum recovery, and something that I wasn't quite anticipating.
You mentioned that Simon's gone back to work. What's that been like, going from 2 to 1?
Yeah, so he went back a week ago, and he works a bit of a hybrid home and office, but the days that he's been in the office have felt very different from the last 3 weeks, where we've been surrounded by people. So I've been trying not to let that get in my head, but it's interesting when you're just you and the baby at home. I've become a lot more obsessive about him and timing his sleeping and timing his feeding, and my day just felt a lot more focused on him. I wasn't then showering, doing laundry, I wasn't making myself food until like after midday. So I need to think about how to have like that healthy maternity leave, really, and have healthy days where I'm taking care of him but I'm not obsessing over things, and also looking after myself. And thankfully I am a bit more mobile now, so I am able to do things like cook and clean, unfortunately. I just need to figure out what that route is like, what that life's going to look like, because it's a bit daunting thinking this is a year now of me and him, and I don't want my year to be me sat at home in the lounge timing naps. I want it to look a bit more close to what we had last year, where I was active and I was out and about and doing things. So we're figuring that out and how we can shape that to be, you know, a nice year.
Do you know whether you will want to go back to work at the end of that year? Is that planned? And how you and Simon might juggle things?
Yeah, it's interesting. So yes, I'm planning to go back to work. I do enjoy work. I don't love work, but I don't want to not work. And I do enjoy my job. And also, we enjoy having the double income.
Yeah, that's always nice.
So we want the double income.
Enough said. Yeah.
We will have to figure out daycare. Daycare is quite a struggle around Vancouver. Famously quite hard to get your child into daycare. So we've already started enrolling him in on wait lists and things. We may have to find like a nanny. I'm not sure how it's going to look, but we'll have to figure something out. And I do work from home, so maybe we don't need like, maybe we can have a few hours a week where he's not in daycare.
Now my most important question is, when will Casper be hitting the slopes in his first pair of skis or snowshoeing?
Oh my gosh, well, he actually already has a season pass.
No, what?
We went to Whistler last weekend and I brought him, I ambitiously bought a Whistler season pass as well this year.
I love that ambition.
That's the dream. So we took him, I figured if I don't ski, I can get to go up the gondola and hang out with everyone. So that's what we did last week. I took him up in the stroller, up the gondola. He actually had to have a season pass, even though it was free and he's just a baby. But it was quite fun. He had to have his picture taken.
Oh my God.
And we all hung out at the top, which was very fun. So I think all of our weekends from, you know, for this winter are going to look like that. Either me hanging out with him, or hopefully I'll be skiing soon as well. And then, yeah, maybe if he's standing next year, we'll be able to drag him around on some skis.
We all know that bringing a baby into the world and looking after them truly does take a village. I think I know the answer to this, but who has been your greatest champion? Who is your blooming hero?
Oh, hands down, it has to be Simon. He's blown me away with how he's helped me get through this pregnancy and birth. He's been, you know, encouraging me to do all the things that we did during pregnancy. He's been listening to the birthing audiobooks and the podcasts. And truly, during labour, he wasn't a bystander. He wasn't just there holding my hand telling me I could do it. He actually played an active role with helping me get through the labour, and so he was amazing. And you know, since Casper's has arrived, he's been trying to encourage me to do things for myself. So like last week I actually went to my flute lesson and he had Casper, and he's trying to, you know, help me to get back to doing the things that I really like without the baby, as quickly as possible. Just, you know, for my own mental health and enjoyment. And
Simon, great job. What a team you are. Before you leave, I want to just get a little practical and tactical for a second. I've got a few quick fire questions. What are the resources that have been most useful to you?
Audiobooks. There's a practical hypnobirthing guide and the Positive Birth book. Been perfect for prepping me for birth.
Amazing. What products could you have not done without?
The birth comb. The birth comb, definitely.
What was the best gift you have received post-birth?
Oh, I got a hydro flask with a straw a few days after I gave birth, and it has been my side companion every single day, keeping me hydrated. 100% best gift I've had.
What was the biggest shock or surprise in all of this that made you think, why did no one tell me this before?
The postpartum recovery. Yeah. That was the biggest kind of negative shock. The biggest positive shock was actually how wonderful the newborn phase is. And from my personal experience, not as hard as everyone has made out to me.
What is a tip or trick or baby hack that you have learned that you can share with us?
Oh, there is a product called the Hacker, and it basically hangs by suction on your other boob when you're breastfeeding and collects all these like drips, which I didn't realize when you breastfeed, your other boob leaks. And I've been able to collect enough for like a bottle or sometimes two every day just by using that Hacker product. It's like $20 and it's amazing.
What have you needed to hear in these, in those early days or in these early days? What do you wish you heard more?
I wish people would just like let us enjoy the joy without caveating that it might get worse without saying just you wait or that's great for now, you know, just let us revel in it. Yeah, let us revel in it feeling great and easy.
You revel. What is the best piece of advice you've received?
For the postpartum, just the longer you rest, the more you'll kind of reap the benefits later. So if you can stay resting for an extra week, then the week after will feel even better.
And what are you most proud of?
The pushing, actually. For now.
Hell one yeah, of... the pushing.
I was proud of myself with birth. It's amazing how proud I have felt from my body.
And can you give us just a totally joyous moment that you've had so far as a mum, as a parent?
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, when all these mornings that we've been having where we'll pull him out of the cot and we'll lie him on the bed in the middle of us both and we'll just like stare at him for the first hour or two of the day, and it's been so joyous. But I did have a moment yesterday where it kind of stands out, and I was at home on my own with him, holding him in my arms. We had some music on, like some just relaxing music, and I was just rocking him, and he was like staring up at me and sort of falling asleep, and I just cried. It was just so wonderful to just, I don't know, hold this little baby in your arms that's staring up at you and feel that connection with him and feel like he's got me and I've got him. And it just felt so joyful and so wonderful. And I can't wait for even more special moments like that with him.
Oh, so much more to come. And the joy of it is that the bond only will get stronger. That is just, it's been so wonderful talking to you, Lydia, and to hear your story, but to just see how much joy this little man has brought into your life. Thank you so much for sharing that joy with us.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been amazing to talk to you, to talk through everything and kind of help process it, really, and just see everything with a bigger picture.
That's the end of this episode. Take care and see you next time.
If you enjoyed this episode of Bloom Stories, we would so appreciate it if you could rate, review, or subscribe. Apparently, it will help other mums know that we exist.